All prophets say, are those who know equal to those who do not know?
The Immortals, a link to the life and works of Persian and Muslim dignitaries.
Fortunate is he who remembers Allah abundantly. Worldly distractions cannot mildly sway his thoughts of Allah and Judgment Day.
In his name, we are starting another edition of the program, The Immortals, coming to you from the Call of Islam radio station, Hall City of Qom, Islamic Republic of Iran. As you know, in this series of the programs, we are mainly concerned with the lives and biographies of the Persian as well as Muslims, specifically Shiite dignitaries and luminaries in different fields of studies all around the world, with the presence of Dr. Fakhr Rouhani. Dr. Fakhr Rouhani is specialized in the field of Ahlabayt literature and Ashura literature in English language, and is currently a faculty member of the University of Qom. He also got his PhD in the field of linguistics from the University of Tehran. I would like to welcome you, Dr. Fakhr Rouhani, here to the studio of the Call of Islam radio station. Good day, and thank you very much for accepting the invitation.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Dr. Fakhr Rouhani, regarding the lives of the dignitaries, the important ones, the Persian ones as well as the Muslim ones, this session, I would like to get to another important shining star and the luminary in the field of religious studies, that is Sheikh Saduq. Before getting to his life and before listening to your interesting elaboration and discussion of his life, I would like to just give a brief summary of his name, family background, and lineage, and after we get to your discussion, okay?
Okay.
In the biography of Sheikh Saduq, we have that Muhammad ibn Ali ibn Hussein ibn Musa ibn Babavay, mainly known as Abu Ja'far al-Saduq al-Qumi of Qom, he was born in Qom city, was the master sheikh and the head of the narrators. His father was the respectable Sheikh Abul Hasan Ali ibn al-Husayn ibn Musa ibn Babavay, and the master sheikh of Qom in his time. He was also the most precedent, the master of jurisprudence, and the most trustful of the ulama of his time. You know, Sheikh Saduq was born in Qom, and you know, it is well known that he was born after the death of Muhammad ibn Usman al-Amri, which was in the year 305 AH, and that was the opening year of the representation of Abul Qasim al-Hussein ibn Ruh, who died in 326 AH. You know, Sheikh Saduq, Dr. Fakhr Rouhani, was a great character of his time, as his father was. This is rooted in his life and his lineage. As we hear that, in fact, his father, Sheikh Abul Hasan Ali ibn Hussein Musa ibn Babavay, was called the master sheikh, or we can say the high-ranking sheikh of his time. This title is referred to a person who is high-ranking in the field of jurisprudence. Let's talk a little bit about his birth and early life for us, okay? And after we get to the other parts and dimensions of his life.
Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It's very important to know that the very personality of the late Sheikh As-Saduq confirms the grace of God upon the humanity. That is, as you remarked, Sheikh As-Saduq's father wanted to have a son. And he appealed to Hussein ibn Ruh, who was the third delegate of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, who was in a state of minor occultation, and asked him to pass on to Imam al-Mahdi his request for having a son. After a few days, again, he met Hussein ibn Ruh, and then Hussein ibn Ruh informed him that Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam had already prayed for him that God would provide him with a son who would become a luminary in the field of knowledge and scholarship.
That's right.
This is a factor that the late Sheikh As-Saduq always took pride in, that he was born due to the prayer of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam.
Even he mentioned this story in his book, Kamaluddin wa Tamamud Ni'mah.
Yes, Kamaluddin wa Tamamud Ni'mah. And at the same time, here on this part, let me indicate that the very book, Kamaluddin wa Tamamud Ni'mah, there's another alternate title for this book. In some books, it's regarded as Ikmaluddin wa Itmamun Ni'mah. And I think the second one must be correct, because the very title refers to Eid al-Ghadir, when Imam Ali alayhi salam was nominated as the successor to the Prophet, the immediate successor to the Prophet. In the Holy Quran, it's mentioned, Al-Yawm Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum Wa Atmamtu Alaykum Ni'mati Wa Raditu Lakum Al-Islam Adina. So I think the title must be Ikmaluddin Wa Atmamu Al-Ni'ma. However, Sheikh Al-Saduq was very influential in that he surpassed all his contemporaries. And now that when we look back at the same period of time, the only shining star seems to be only Sheikh Al-Saduq, although there were so many other scholars, available in those days. However, I should like to say that according to one account, the late Sheikh Al-Saduq wrote some 250 books, and in another, according to some other accounts, he wrote nearly 300 books, of which, unfortunately, only around 20 of them are available to us. Such a big personality proved very influential in that he had many, many students, and he was an exemplary of seeking knowledge and to be always in quest of knowledge and scholarship.
That's right. Sheikh Al-Saduq became a great figure of his time because of Not only because of his interest in religion and studies, but also because of the high intelligence he got. I do want to say that always he became this such a sign of distinction and intelligence among the people. And even they say that in his behavior, he was very virtuous toward the people around. And they called the people of his time, called him and unparalleled person. Dr. Fakhrani, when we look at the life of the Sheikh Al-Saduq, I would like to say that the Sheikh Al-Saduq's somehow environment of life has also much effect on introducing such a person and more highlighting than before. I do want to say that the political circumstances of that time also played a very important role in crystallizing the true personality of Sheikh Al-Saduq, who lived in the reign of the Buyid in Iraq and Persia, and the Fatimids in the northern Africa, and the Hamdanid states in Mosul in northern Iraq and Syria. How was it possible for Sheikh Al-Saduq to live with different dynasties from different countries in such a way? Why is it so?
Yes, the common point among all of these seemingly different dynasties were that all of them were Shiite dynasties. So there was no political unrest situation in the time. I mean, Sheikh Al-Saduq was a great figure in the Shiite denomination, and these political dynasties were also Shiite. So all of them respected him, and it made a good ground for his scholastic journals, for his scholastic journeys, as well as his political influence on the regimes, currently at work in the region.
What about the Fatimids in northern Africa?
Where no, they were also Shiites, yes. And the great Al-Azhar University, was a direct influence of the reign of the Shiite Fatimid rulers in Egypt.
That's right.
I mean, as you know, Egyptians even today take pride in the Al-Azhar University.
That's right.
Yes.
So what about Hamdanid's one? Do you know?
Hamdanids used to rule in northern Syria and in northern Iraq, as you mentioned.
That's right.
Yeah, they were also Shiites.
You know, apart from the political life and political environments of Sheikh As-Saduq, an important part is the scholastic journeys.
Yes.
You know, they say that Sheikh As-Saduq was very much interested in the scholastic journeys to the most important places and most important centers of religion and studies of that time. Would you elaborate on this perspective?
As you know, in those days, I mean, in old days, it wasn't in such a way that all the references could be available in a single place, or like our time, which due to the internet facilities, almost all sources can be accessed from anywhere in the world, provided that the internet facilities are available. In those days, it was common among scholars to take some scholastic journeys to other places. From Rome, which was the cradle of knowledge in those days, Sheikh As-Saduq took a trip to Mashhad in order to pay pilgrimage to the tomb of Imam Reza alayhi salam, the 8th infallible Imam. Well, as you know, and as it's well known, not only in the world of Islam, but also in other traditions, in other civilizations as well, great centers of learning have been shaped and formed in juxtaposition with most important religious centers. And in this regard, it can be regarded as something quite universal. In other cultures and in other civilizations, this holds true. So, since Mashhad, due to the presence of the tomb of Imam Reza alayhi salam, was a religious city, it was quite natural for some scholars to reside over there and to prefer to remain there, at least for teaching and learning, okay, if not for good and all. The later Sheikh As-Saduq traveled to Mashhad. He stayed there for pilgrimage and at the same time for meeting the great scholars of the city over there. And please note carefully that Mashhad, as the capital city of the region, made a central point or made a central figure in attracting scholars from some regions which today they are parts of the Central Asia, from Bukhara, from Samarkand and other areas.
Okay.
So there Sheikh As-Saduq had access to almost all kinds of ulama and great men, both Sunni and Shia. From Mashhad, he took a trip to Nishapur. When he went to Nishapur, people realized his great academic and scholarly status and asked him to stay there for some time. According to a report, he accepted to remain there for a short time. And there he delivered a series of lectures.
Very good.
The result of these series of lectures is known as the book Al-Amali, Dictations or Dictates, okay, or Lecture Notes, in a better sense, Lecture Notes. Al-Amali of the later Sheikh As-Saduq is in fact a series of lecture notes together with some additions and annotations and explanations, which he later on added to the text of his lectures and sermons. And this book, Al-Amali of the later Sheikh As-Saduq, is a good compendium, a short compendium of doctrinal issues and doctrinal topics. I mean, the topics which have something to do with the Islamic and Shiite articles of faith. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, but I mean, the book is in the form of a series of lectures or in the form of some questions and answers.
Sure.
Okay, some people used to ask him some questions, and on the basis of the questions, the later Sheikh As-Saduq used to give some explanations. Not only did he go to Nishapur, he also went to Jurjan and Astarabad, which were also important places in northern Iran, and very much known for the Shiite enthusiasts over there. And please note that from old days, I mean, from the time Islam arrived in Iran until the present time, the city of Gorgan and especially the region of Astrabad have had very important ulema and scholarly figures.
That's right. Dr. Fakhrani, you know about the scholars and the figures of that part with Sheikh Al-Sadugh, in fact, took a lot of lessons. Let's have them after taking a break. Okay. Thank you very much, Albert. It was very nice of you. Taking a break, I will be back in a minute.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. Created by the Master, Allah created you. You are very special, exclusively designed. You are very special, and I'm so glad you're mine.
We are back with the rest of the program, The Immortals, coming to you from the Kalamazan radio station. This session, we are mainly concerned with the biography of Sheikh Al-Sadugh. Dr. Fakhrani, you were talking very nice about the scholastic journeys, and we get to the region of Astarabad and Jurjan. They say that Sheikh Al-Sadugh attended the lecture of Sheikh Abul Hasan Muhammad Ibn Ali Ghasim Al-Astarabadi, or Ali Astarabadi, okay?
Yes.
Of that time, and so many other people also attended. Muhammad ibn Ali ibn al-Abbas al-Jurjani and Sheikh Muhammad Ali ibn Ali Astarabadi also, these persons. What about the region of Jurjan, and what about the other regions? Sheikh Sadugh also had some journeys to other places too. What about those places?
Yes, actually the personalities you mentioned were very important. In that they were famous exegetes of the Holy Quran. I mean, they were, experts in producing exegesis of the Holy Quran.
What do you mean by exegesis? Maybe some of the
an exegete is a person who provides explanations on the delicate points or on some hidden meanings of a text, and especially on sacred books, and especially on the Holy Quran.
That's right.
The later Sheikh Al-Sadugh also, as I remarked earlier, went to the city of Nishapur, which in those days was called the city of Nishapur, or Nishapur.
That's right.
Okay. Then he went to Merv, he went to Sarakhs, and to some other cities, and he had the honor of paying pilgrimage to the house of Allah in Mecca. I mean, he performed his Hajj. Mm-hmm. I mean, for Hajj, he went to Mecca and then to Medina. And on the way back, he went to Kufa, to Iraq, to Najaf, and to certainly to Karbala. He went to pay some, visitations, some pilgrimage. And wherever he went, he was not only in search of an opportunity to perform his religious duties, rather he was always in quest of knowledge. He also traveled to other cities like Hamadan, Iraq, Balkh, Samarkand, Farghane, and some other cities. I mean, these cities are now very far away from each other, and taking into the consideration the burden of traveling from one city to another city, we can realize that what a great scholar, Sheikh Al-Sadugh must be.
What's all these scholastic journeys, all these for taking lessons or giving lessons?
No, both of them.
Both of them.
Right. Yes, both of them. Because, even today, for example, when a professor is invited to a university, he goes to that university in order to deliver some lectures, but at the same time, if he finds some opportunities to add to his or her knowledge, a great scholar wouldn't miss this opportunity to add something to his or her her own knowledge. Right. And the later Sheikh Asadugh was no exception.
Right.
I mean, yes, he did the same.
So what about his specialty, Dr. Fakhrouani? Let's talk about his specialties. What fields of studies Sheikh Asadugh was, in fact, had a scholarship in and was a scholar in?
Yes. Let me tell you that I think this happens from time to time in the history of knowledge and in the history of sciences. For example, we find that there are many, many great scholars in the world, but sometimes some scholars are famous for one or two branches of their specialities. These scholars are really polymath people. So the late Sheikh Asadugh was a first-hand and a very notable Quran exegete. At the same time, he was a historian. He Sure. was a scholar in Rijal, in biographies of, hadith relators, hadith transmitters. At the same time, he was an expert in Islamic law, in fiqh, in sharia. And at the same time, he was a great man in some other branches of knowledge of the day, such as mathematics, such as medicine, and such as astronomy and other branches of knowledge. He was also a great person in Arabic linguistics, because he had to write all his books in pure classical Arabic. So he was also a linguist, an Arabic linguist. But throughout history, we know the later Sheikh Asadugh as an expert in doctrinal issues. Yes, he was an expert in Shiite doctrinal issues, but at the same time, we shouldn't forget that due to his having produced at least 250 books, he must be an asset, and he must be really an extraordinary personality in contributing this much to the world of knowledge and scholarship.
And what about the pupils?
Yes, he had several students. And I should like to say that his students were not especially in Qom, in his hometown, or in Ray, a city in the suburb of Tehran right now. Rather, such personalities, wherever they traveled, they tried to have some students or some scholars, rushed to them in order to learn from them.
Including
Sheikh Al-Mufid, yes. And the late Sheikh Al-Mufid himself was a very shining star in the realm of knowledge and scholarship. But, I think in the history of Shiite, scholars, Sheikh Asadugh remains a very shining star because he was born because of the prayer of Imam al-Mahdi, alayhi salam. And this is an extraordinary honor which has been conferred on him.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. He wrote many, many books. And in his books, for example, the book Al-Khisal is a book, in which the merits and virtues are arranged numerically. For example, one of the virtues of, for example, of the pious people. Two, for example, two characteristics of important people.
Right.
Two characteristics of scholars.
Amen.
Three, for example, three characteristics of the pious people. Three characteristics of those who are in search of knowledge. Four, and it goes in the same way.
Very nice.
And personally, I read the book, the last book, and it's really very fascinating. And in his books, he refers to other publications of his own, most of which are now unavailable. but he certainly authored those books.
Which are lost in fact now.
Yes,
the books that are lost.
Yes,
well.
They are lost. We have no access to them, even to any copies of them. However, since he mentions those books and refers the audience for some fuller discussions to other of his books and writings, we know that he was a very prolific author. And according to one estimation, as I remarked earlier, he certainly produced at least 250 books.
Okay, Dr. Fakhrani, just enumerate some of his, in fact, important books, and then I will get to his demise.
Yes. Actually, among his books, we can say, for example, Al-I'tiqadat,
right.
Articles of Faith,
okay.
Al-Amali, the Lecture Notes,
right.
The Thawab Al-A'mal, I mean, the merits or the rewards of, good deeds and
good
acts.
Deeds and actions, that's right.
Yes. Al-Khisal, characteristics.
That's right.
Okay. And Sifat al-Shia, attributes of pure Shiites.
That's right.
Iqab al-A'mal.
That's right.
The punishments for some bad deeds and acts.
That's right.
And here on the spot, let me tell you that in recent editions, I've noticed that Thawab al-A'mal and Iqab al-A'mal, both of them are separate books, but in recent editions, they are published as in one volume.
Book.
Yes,
that's
yes,
right.
yes. In juxtaposition with
that's
each
right.
other.
Very good.
And Iqab al-A'mal, Ilal al-Sharayi', okay, Uyun Akhbar al-Rizha, which is very, very important. It's available in two volumes, and it was published several times in Iraq, in Lebanon, and also in Iran. Uyun Akhbar al-Rizha alayhi salam is a collection of the of some questions which were addressed to Imam Ali al-Rizha alayhi salam, and Imam al-Rida alayhi salam, the eighth infallible Imam, provided extensive answers to those questions.
That's right.
Yes.
And what about the other books? Just
yes.
Because of lack of time, enumerate some of them for us.
Yes. Fada'ilu Ashhur al-Thalatha. فضائل الشيعة كمال الدين وتمام النعمة مصدقات الإخوان معاني الأخبار المقنع في الفقه من لا يحضره الفقيه and finally المواعظ okay. These books are all in diverse fields of knowledge and it shows that he was really a great and extraordinary man of knowledge and scholarship and erudition.
Thank you very much, Dr. Fakhrani. Let's talk a little bit before finishing this program. Let me just talk a little bit about his demise. That Sheikh al-Saduq died and passed away in the year 381 AH, and he was more than 72 years old. He was buried in the city of Ray near the tomb of Abdul Azim al-Hassani, and today his tomb is one of the most famous shrines, whom are frequently visited by people. And you know, there are some also stories about Sheikh al-Saduq that, for example, in the year 1238 AH, a fissure occurred in the shrine because of the heavy rain. When some people entered inside the shrine of Sheikh al-Saduq for chasing the sore of the fissure, they could reach gutter in which Sheikh al-Saduq was buried. This is the story narrated and it is documented. They found that his dead body was laid out while the genitals were covered on the nails of the body. They could notice the signs of dye, while on the limbs there were old threads of sworn coffin. And as this event rumored in the city, you know, the king of that time ordered to reform the fissure and reconstruct that shrine. You know, somehow his body was, untouched. Of that time. This is documented in
yes.
the history in the year 1238 AH. Thank you very much, Dr. Fakhrani, for your nice elaboration on the life and the works of Sheikh al-Saduq.
Welcome.
Thank you. And thank you very much, dear Muslims, for listening to this program. You can also refer to our website at www.coiradio.com. We'll be happy with your votes and comments at coi@sinariv.ir. Thank you very much again. Have a nice time and goodbye.